Now, there have been a lot of big connection events taking place around the country this year with the blind and partially sighted community. And one was held recently at the Great Western Hotel in Devon. And to tell us more is hotelier Catherine Sherwood. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Simon.
Yeah, this must be a really busy time of the year for you.
It is very busy, especially in July and August. That is a peak season with all the children off school.
And has the weather made a difference this year, do you think?
I think the weather has made a difference because everybody is trying to book in and we're solid. We're full. We had a heat wave, didn't we, for a good 2 months. And I think that's good to bring in the crowd. Probably next year they'll say, right, we've been to Paignton, we've been to Devon, and it was hot, so we'll come back again.
Yes. It's a lovely part of the world down there, though, isn't it?
It is. It's the English Riviera.
That's right, yeah. I remember the artists used to come down there, didn't they? After the 30s, I think they used to call it that, where a lot of the artists liked the light when they were doing their paintings.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. And, of course, the sun sets in the west. We usually have the sunshine right to till sunset.
Wow, sounds nice. So tell us about the recent big connection event, because you actually hosted it at your hotel, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I have a very large garden, and I invited, there were only about, they said, oh dear, we have only about 12 coming. I said, that's fine. There's no problem. We've met a few times at the sensory team, and the day before they arrive, as you know, Richard Shuker, he's the organizer. He said, Catherine, I have 25 coming. So I made a big dash and got more barbecue, meat and vegetarian, everything. So it was a success because they all turned up and they had a lovely day.
Do you think these events are important for those of us that are vision impaired?
Well, I was very surprised because before I became blind, I thought I was the only soul in this world, and it was very depressing. Can you imagine if you're sighted and suddenly you become blind? You can't even walk two steps without your everything started, like your senses start kicking in. And you ask yourself, oh dear, what's in front of me? Are you going to walk into it? Are you going to trip over it? And that's how I felt. I was very depressed and I couldn't do anything. I said, that's it. My life is over. Can't do anything. And my ophthalmologist at Torbay Hospital said, Catherine, you have to live and fight over it. It's over it. It's not the end of the world. Come back and we'll do a few operations and see that will help you a lot. And I went to the sensory team. They were very good to me. They said, oh, come on in. We'll help you. There are a lot of people like yourself. You're not. They were so nice, and it's true. After that, gradually, I found that I was not the only one in the world and stopped feeling sorry for myself. So I said, right, let me get out of it. And that's how I've become. And I said, I'm going to press on, not giving up the hotel, and I will become a blind hotelier.
Your sight loss was quite sudden then?
Yes, it was. And we have two counsellors in Torbay who are blind. And I said, well, if we have two counsellors still very active on board, I will continue and fight on with this blindness. And it helped tremendously with the Torbay team and the sensory team. And they teach you how to go about in life, how to cross the Pelican Crossing. And you learn so much that you didn't know was there. They said, Catherine, don't run across the Pelican light when the cross, go to the crossing, press a button, put your palm under the button, and you'll feel a little cone. When it drops on your palm, it starts whizzing round, then it is safe to walk. I never knew such thing happened, or existed rather. So they took me out to a crosswalk and to a traffic light. They said, right, press the button now, put your palm under. And I said, I never knew such thing existed. And don't follow anyone when they said, right, cross, it's free now. Never, never do that. Wait for the cone to drop, then you're safe. because you can't see traffic ahead of you. They can run, but you can't because you can't see. And I think these are little things that is so wonderful to blind people or to people with sight impairment.
The thing is that, as you've mentioned, you go through that stage when you're losing your sight later in life of there's the sadness, there's the anger, the frustration. But then, like you say, you have to realise, well, it is what it is, so you have to make the best of what you have.
I can tell you it was very depressing. I said, I'll take myself, don't worry, take myself to bury head. I am not worried about the world anymore. And that was just depression that kicked in. But I fought it. And with the help of the sensory team, they were very good to me. And especially my ophthalmologist at Torbay Hospital, he said, Catherine, remember that things will get easier each day. Sight loss happens gradually in a lot of older people through macular degeneration that I wasn't aware of. People who have diabetes, people who don't look after themselves, eating lots of processed white sugar, white bread. And take your life easy. Take it one day at a time. You'll find that your life will be back. And he was right. Because I was so depressed, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk. I used to run up and down the stairs. And I do know the area where I'm in. I do know the hotel that I've been here 31 years. And suddenly I said to myself, right, pick yourself up and, as I said, don't feel sorry for yourself. Go out and meet some other sighted people with impairment like myself. And I was very happy because they all came to the barbecue and some were worse off than me.
So did you find it quite an uplifting experience then, having the Big Connection event?
Yes, and they were wonderful. They really are. I never knew there were hundreds and literally thousands like myself. So until you have a sight loss or a hearing loss or whatever, then you know that you're amongst people like yourself, like people. But if you are sighted, you don't know that exists, you know. You just think that everybody's the same.
Plus, I think when we have good eyesight, I think sometimes we take it for granted, don't we?
We do. And why don't the televisions publicise it so that people know that sometimes, even with hearing loss, sometimes I speak to people and they're not answering me. And I said, oh dear, he's so rude or she's so rude. And then suddenly it just strikes you, that person has got a hearing loss. In this, especially in this hotel street, I've come through all walks of life. It's a very interesting job because you come through everybody, every family, regardless of creed, whatever, we are all the same. We suffer the same loss. We suffer with, let's say, family problems. We have ups and downs, and it's the same all over the world.
And it must be quite a challenge running a hotel with little sight.
It is very difficult, but I've been here 31 years. I know exactly where everything is. And a sighted person would come and she will put her pots and pans in, she'll move it around. And I said, I have a system here. Please leave all the coffee pots on the side, on the right, and the teapots on the left. And they said, why? I said, I'll tell you why. Because as a blind person, I know exactly where to reach for. You are sighted, you take things for granted, and you're unaware. Little things like that.
So you're probably a better organised person now then?
I was very organised, but when you become blind, it changes the whole spectrum of everyday life. Right from boiling a pot of water and pouring it into... I tried that and I nearly burned myself. So the sensory team said, Catherine, here, this is the object here. I said, what's the object? And they produced, they said, when you are pouring a cup of coffee or a pot of tea, make sure that your hand is away. You can feel it. And they taught me how to do it. It's wonderful after that. And things that we take for granted, every little thing that we take for granted is just right there. Things like, say, you used to walk and you can just jump off a step or walk off, you know, you can see the steps or what gradient there is ahead of you. When you are blind, you don't know. you suddenly trip. And I have tripped a few times, but luckily I have flat shoes, so it wasn't too bad for me. And then everything comes into perspective then. I've got the white cane, and they even taught me how to walk with the white cane. And that really helped tremendously.
Did you find it useful to talk to others with sight loss as well?
Yes. And I found out some were worse off than myself, and they have a guide dog. And it just came into myself and said, oh dear, I should be thankful for little mercies. They are really, really blind, where there's like myself, when I first went blind, there was no sight at all. But now I can't see, that's the wrong word to say, I can see. Things are all extremely blur. It is so blur that you can't make out other than an object that's standing in front of you, and you know that you're not going to bump into a pole or into a person. That operation gave me that little bit of sight. Otherwise, I would have been really blind. The day will come, not in my lifetime, there's going to be stem cells for the eyes. They have tried it on about a few, I will say that to myself, it's guinea pigs, and it's wonderful. They tried the stem cells on blind people, and two of them had, I think they had nearly 20/20 vision after the stem cells were inserted into their eyes. So I said to my ophthalmologist, I'm waiting for stem cells to come in, and I'll pay whatever it is to get stem cells. But he said, this is only an experiment. We're still trying to get it done. And in America, they've tried it, but it's going to take time. So we'll wait. We'll wait for that to happen.
So, Catherine, you know, what once looked so depressing for you, does the future seem quite optimistic for you now?
One has to be optimistic. In life, I was very optimistic. I became very depressed after being blind. But optimism, you have that goal in you. You have to challenge it. Otherwise, you might as well give up living. When you have that challenge in you, you've got the adrenaline inside you pushing you. And I say to myself, right, I'm now going to open my hotel. And I've started doing a lot of things in the hotel where a blind person can come in and everything's on the level, on the ground floor. So if a person has a guide dog, it will be easier for the guide dog to walk a blind person. And even going to the garden, we had the barbecue. They all said that it was wonderful because they could come up, instead of the steps, they could come up another way, like a sloping gradient. And they all loved it. So we are proposing to have another barbecue or even a get-together at the hotel. I'm just waiting for Richard Sugar and his team, and we will get another one going. And I think that will promote the awareness of blindness. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a fantastic idea, Catherine. And, you know, it's great how we become more aware of things depending what our circumstances are. I'd like to say I hope the next event goes as well as the last, and that the hotel business keeps you on your toes. Catherine Sherwood, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. Thank you for sharing your story. Yep.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I hope everything goes well for everyone who is in that position, because it's wonderful that people are beginning to be aware of blindness. Thank you.